Josh.
I'm Michelle.
And this is Little Bandology, Season 2, Episode
2.
We come to you again. Thank you to everybody that listened to Season 2. It was, we actually have found out that we have quite a few listeners across the seas.
Yes.
This time, which is pretty exciting, I think.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to us from across the water, in Europe, man, are we excited that you're with us.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Yeah, this is fantastic. Like us on Facebook. Search us on Little Bandology or send us an email at littlebandology@gmail.com and let us know about your situation, where you are, what's going on, and we'll give you a shout-out on the air. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
So this week we've had, well, boy, have we had a week.
This is a week.
It has been a week. So after we talked about, in the last episode, our acoustical struggles.
Our band hall woes.
I went to my superintendent and I said, and I was the squeaky wheel. And as typical in school districts, when you are the squeaky wheel, you could say it gets the grease, but more often it gets the responsibility. And so I was given the responsibility of contacting the acoustical company, Purdue Acoustics, and getting their take and their quote and everything. And I did, and they did. And I got the approved board on sound panels for new sound panels for our band hall. How exciting is that?
Yeah, it was for the full workup, it was going to be a lot.
A lot of money. But for everything except for the battens, I think
baffles.
Battens are materials of war, I think. And the baffles that hang from the ceiling, those are going to be considerably more expensive. However, that's to reduce the ambient noise. And so we're going to add those after the fact. We've just got to get it to a rehearsable space, I think.
Yes, so we're doing everything but the baffles, which
everything but the baffles. That's our next that's our next podcast title.
Yeah,
everything but the baffles.
Yeah, hopefully in
six to eight weeks. There's a term that they use that they have to verify that everything works before it comes through. But
industry,
I'm not even going to pretend to try to remember it.
It's
a big deal, and so they've got to do that, and then they'll start. We send them money. And they begin the process in 6 to 8 weeks. We have sound panels that we can hang, and I am so, so excited and relieved. So that was quite the blessing. But
I'm not going to believe it's actually happening until we get the shipping notice, I think.
Yeah.
It just seemed like it's just been such a long time.
We may cry. There may be tears.
I might.
So, and on that same vein, our air conditioning.
Oh, my gosh.
Went out in the new band hall. Not once, but twice.
Yeah, so I walked into the band hall. It was like 2 weeks ago, I guess. And I said, is there a metronome on somewhere? Because it sounded like a metronome clicking. And it was probably about 120. And so, like, somebody in my head, somebody had been practicing their marching band music and just forgot to turn their metronome on. And so, like, the hunt started for a metronome turned on somewhere. And there was no metronome. And finally, Josh said, I think that's the air conditioner.
I think that's the fan motor. And lo and behold,
sure enough,
it went, and all of a sudden we looked over and the thermostat was set on 69 degrees.
But it said like 74.
4 degrees. And so we contacted, and it's, if you do new construction in school districts, if you've ever done that before, you know there's this thing called warranty work, and so, or a new home. And so for the next year, 18 months, I can't remember how long it is, anything that breaks, they come and they fix.
And it has to be a certain company. Like we can't do any, like our maintenance guys can't come in and do any work. They have to call a certain company to come in and fix the work.
And
fix the problems.
So they had a gentleman come, and we heard him on the roof in our sixth grade. We were teaching sixth grade band.
Yes, of course, it's during sixth grade.
And they're like,
squirrel.
What's that? What's that, Mr. King? What's that? Listen, there's a person on the roof. He's not coming to get you. It's fine. And so he fixed it once. It lasted about 24 hours.
And then the air went out again.
And then it went out again. But they had to wait on a part the first time.
I don't think they did. I think they just came and fixed it to get us air. But the second time, I think they had the part.
No, I don't know. But it was hot, y'all.
It was so hot.
August in Texas, don't play.
Well, and then our principal said, oh, y'all can move into the old band hall on the same day that they were doing this medical screening thing.
In the old band hall.
And we were like, couldn't move into the old band hall.
Yeah, so it's kind of pointless. And not to mention, if you ever have to move a band rehearsal space to another space,
it's too much work.
You know what? I'll just sweat and make sure I have deodorant on. It'll be fine. Marching band's outside anyway. It's hotter outside than it is inside.
And it really didn't get terrible in the band hall till after lunch.
Matter of fact, we even had a game night. Friday night, we do something fun that we do with our kids, and this was their idea. They wanted to do this. We started a couple years ago, but we do board games.
Board games and video games.
And we feed them pizza from one of the best places. If you're in Longview, Texas, and you eat a Pizza King, you know what I'm talking about. It is the good stuff. And so we get Pizza King, and we have snacks for them, and we just have a good time. And we did that with no air conditioning in the band hall.
And nobody complained.
And not one person complained. But it's a lot of, you know, sitting still and all those kinds of things. Although, there was some confusion as to what we meant by game night. Because had parents, including parents of students who have done this before, email me or text me or call me confused about where we were playing football. And I said, listen, that is football. I just put football whenever we're talking about those kind of games. This is a legitimate game night. And so there was a lot of clarification that I've never had to do before. And
yeah,
this is the first year in 3 years. So it was different, I suppose.
It's because we didn't make our graphic soon enough.
Yeah, we didn't get onto our Canva and do our thing.
I'm going to clarify. We made our graphic. Josh didn't post it soon enough.
There's truth to that statement. We had it. Michelle made it. I asked her to make it. She made it. I asked her to make it. And she sent it to me, and the day got the better of me, as it does. If you're a band director, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes the day gets the better of you. Also, in the last time since we spoke, we've had a little bit of tragedy in Beckville. That was any tragedy in a school district or in a community is bad, but we had a double whammy.
It all happened within just hours
of each other. We had a student, a seventh grade student, who was a sixth grade trombone player last year. Very delightful young man. Troubled young man, delightful young man, not in seventh grade band this year, who took his own life. And that was very hard. And then we also had one of our band students who lost her mother in the same day. If you have never dealt with loss in your program, you are truly blessed.
Yeah, consider yourself lucky.
Because as we all know, band is a family. You are dealing with, because family is not just the people that you spend time with, but you create an emotional connection, a spiritual connection with your students and with your staff and with your school community. And when things like that happen, it just bowls you over, and you're just in shock. But I will say this, in the vein of all of that, the complaints about the state bill in Texas to ban cell phone use, this is the first time that I really felt like it was the right decision, because we made it through the entire day. We found out all of this in the morning. We made it through the entire day without students finding out what had happened. And so parents got to be parents.
They got to be the ones
they got to be the
to
offense,
tell
not the defense.
Their kids about it instead of their friends telling them. And I think that's important, especially like the student's younger brother is in Sutton's class.
Yes.
Sutton has grown up with him. And so I wanted to be the one to tell Sutton about it. And at that point, we thought that the little brother was missing. And so I wanted to be the one to tell Sutton that little brother was missing. And it turned out that was not true. He wasn't missing. That was
well
a rumor. But, you know, if that was the case and he was missing, I didn't want her to find that out from somebody else.
Yes.
Who may have delivered that information in an insensitive way. I wanted to be the one to tell her. And so I was thankful for that. Now, it did become difficult for us after school when they all picked up their phone, and we had a football game. And so they were all stuck at school waiting for that football game. And we were the ones there.
And it's hard to see any of your students hurting or dealing. But grief is, in trying to help them understand, grief is normal. Grief is human. And that is okay. To have emotion is okay. And I feel like a lot of times in our school districts, we get to a point where that is not okay. It is not okay to feel your feelings and express those feelings. And sometimes kids get in trouble for that. And I'm probably just as guilty of it, especially when you're doing. But when you have a kid that has legitimate emotion that needs to be dealt with, it's not safe for them to keep that bottled up. Our students being able to deal with that in a healthy environment was not, it was a lot on us. And, of course, it was also the day of our first football game.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of all of this day, we begin our football game. Students show up. We have dinner. Life is good. We're playing. We're ready to go. A storm rolls in with winds the likes of which I have not seen in a hot minute. So we
like
were,
blowing the cheerleaders' megaphones across the stadium,
like
their
my,
signs.
Aiden, who is the mascot, was like, "Dad, it was blowing my big old mascot head all over the place." He said it was scary. He couldn't control where he was going. And so we sheltered in place. The other band left because, I mean, St. Augustine is a big distance away from us.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a trip.
It's a trek.
So he texted and he was like, "Peace out." And so we stayed. We didn't go back out until 9 o'clock.
And so, we had barely, like, we still had, like, 8 minutes in the first quarter.
Yes, we had, like, one drive, one and a half. We had just gotten the ball, matter of fact.
Yeah, when they called the lightning delay, we had hardly started the game.
Like, we hadn't played very many stand trash things. That's what I call the music playing the stands, by the way, stand trash. And so we come in, we shelter in place, we hang out. 9 o'clock, and I am livid. I have talked to my superintendent. I am not happy.
Our parents didn't have information, and so they were frustrated.
And
it had been a tragic day already.
It was a long, horrible day. And we get to 9 o'clock, rolls out. We go out. The rain has stopped. The stands are wet, but the rain has stopped. We set up, and we go through the game. We get to halftime. Superintendent comes in. He goes, "How long do you need for halftime? You're the only band. We're going to cut it short so we can get out of here quicker." And I went, "Can you give me 6 or 7 minutes? That's all we need this week." And he said, "I'll give you 12. And I was like, "All right." So we went down and we warmed up and we did our very first performance. Now, if you're in a small school, you may or may not have eighth graders or seventh graders in your marching band. And the first performance it's scary. It messes with your brain if you're that age and you can see it in them. But watching those kids perform after all of that day was probably the best victory that we had had all week. They did a fantastic job. And the thing was, a lot of their parents had gone home and were going to come back and get them when we got done. Like, there were some that stayed, but not a lot that could stay, or some that had to get up early in the morning or things like that, because the football game went on until at least 11, past 11. I didn't get home until past midnight from a home game and then went to school the next day. But that small victory really made it all worthwhile. And we had the best time while we were down there. The kids, we just had the best time, even though it was miserable circumstances. As a band, we had a wonderful time and a great performance, which leads us to our topic of this episode, which is celebrating your small victories. Because if you don't, let's be honest, you're missing out on a great opportunity. And so we're going to talk about basically some of the small victories that we have and some of the ways that we approach things when students get discouraged, in the hopes that it might benefit you down the line and perhaps give you some inspiration to maybe look for those small victories. Because it is very easy, it doesn't matter if you're a headband director or not, it's very easy to find yourself in the weeds and become a little bit of a pessimist when you leave the band hall in the afternoon instead of thinking about what positive things happened within your time there during that time.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we focus on with our beginners is one word, and that is a very important word, because it's very easy for students to get bogged down because all of this is new to them. It's stuff they've never done, and they say, "I can't do it." And we add the word
Yet.
Three little letters, and it changes everything. And we explain that to them.
We always make them repeat it with the word yet.
Yes. They always give us, you know, that look, that sixth grade.
And then we always follow that up with everything is figure outable.
Yes. Which is it a word? It's not a word.
I don't know.
We've never looked it up.
Word.
There you go. Figure outable. Michelle is big on that word. I forget that word exists until she says it. And then I go, "Oh, you're right." And we find that to be true on basically every front of mm-hmm. beginner band. And we talk a lot about, listen, we're training your face to do something it has never done before, which is, there's a lot of truth to, because most kids' faces don't make a clarinet embouchure.
Right, naturally. I mean, like, some kids do, and you're like, "Yes, you're going to play clarinet."
Yes, and even some kids don't, and you're like, "Oh, we got to put you on clarinet." That's all the in a small school where you have all the where you have to provide all the instruments, especially with a class the size that we have this year, which I believe is a small victory. I believe is a victory. True. Having that many students in a class and the fact that we get the opportunity to introduce them to something that they might not have been introduced to otherwise, regardless of what they thought coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So using the word yet and having them repeat it is a super positive thing. And it can even be kind of silly, too, if it gets beaten down, because you can tell when a child is struggling. And we do have a couple of students that are considered special needs in our classes.
Yes.
Let me tell you, those are hands down the hardest working kids.
They do work really
hard. That we teach. And there's so much joy when they get it.
Yes. And listen, if you have those kids, please don't feel like you have to hold them to the same standards that you hold the rest of the kids to. Find little ways that you can alter what you're doing to make it more suitable for their needs.
Which the administrative term for that is differentiation.
Yes.
Band is probably one of the, I think, the best subjects for differentiation. And the reason why I say that is because everybody is going to move at a different pace. Some students are more tactile than others. Some are more cerebral. And so you have some students that are going to learn to read music much faster than others, but some students who, because they're not overthinking it, make the most beautiful sounds on their instruments. And sometimes the students that have the little bit of learning struggles have the no tension aspect of breathing and the just straight breath to sound and vibration just comes across so much quicker, especially in brass instruments. I don't know about woodwind, how that works in woodwind, because there's so many.
I feel like you usually end up with those kids.
I do.
I don't know why that is, but.
Well, and what's funny is I do, what, probably 80 to 85% of the placement of our students. And I don't know if it's because I have a soft spot for those kids or because they excite me or because I see so much potential in allowing them that opportunity, or maybe I'm selfish and I just don't want Michelle to have the joy.
I see.
But those students, I don't know, there's just something special. And knowing that those students, most of them won't make it to 7th or 8th grade band.
I don't know, but one of them, okay, so we have one that he is in the self-contained classroom all day.
Oh my gosh, I love this kid.
He gets to come to us the last period of the day. And we were walking out to the car to go to admin, 7th period, right before his period that he comes to band. He was walking out of the building and he saw us walking to our car and he went, are y'all going home? And he looked very concerned. And I was like, oh, no, we'll be right back. And he went, oh, thank goodness. He was so distraught that we might not be there for his band class. And I thought that was just the most precious thing.
Yes, and those are the students too. And every day before he leaves, he shakes my hand.
Yes, he shakes our hands. He's
and
so cute.
I just want to hug this kid every time. Yeah. And I talk to his parents. We do a 6th grade orientation. And parents come and we give them, we call them their Hogwarts letters. To tell them what they're playing, and we put a little sticker in their envelope, and parents react one of three ways. They react I guess indignantly and want us to change their child's instrument immediately.
Oh, that was actually kind of bad this year.
It was, but that's okay because I think we put everybody where they needed to be, and so that's one way that they react. Another way they react is they don't react. They don't care one way or the other about it because their child is not going to be in band past the 6th grade, and that's fine. What their perception is that band is not going to be for their kid because it wasn't for them. And I get it. So that's the second way. And the third way is pure unadulterated joy that their child is getting to experience that. Those are the parents that I love to talk to, and this child's parents were that way. They were, you know, so excited that he got to learn music. They didn't care what he played. They were just excited for him to be in that classroom experiencing all the music that he could possibly get. And knowing that that is going to benefit their child in the long run. Oh, my heart. That's a victory. That's a small victory. Because not every parent thinks that way. And I watched a TED Talk. Yes, I love me a good TED Talk. as I'm sure many of us do. And this was a woman who was talking about, you know, we want to prepare our children, so we do all the things for them. We make sure that they get the grades. We make sure that they do the service hours. They make sure that we take all the right classes because we want them to be successful as we see success and not necessarily as they need to perceive success. And I was like, wow, first of all, I know I've done that with the boys. Second of all, that's crazy because I see that all the time. And you see that all the time as a teacher. People that don't think what you do is important because that's not the end goal for their child. Mm-hmm. You just teach those kids anyway. Because most of the time, those children, their children's personalities are independent of their parents.
Right.
And those are neat kids to teach. But when you have the parent that comes in that is just excited for their child to be there, that joy and that love transfers to that child, and you get to teach that kid. And that is just great, knowing that that child may not last more than a year. And that's okay. And talking about small victories, we had a small victory the other day, just how students come in the room. Because, you know, that can take a little bit of time when you're trying to put that together. But we were, our first period is our conference. Our beginners come in second period. And we had gone up to visit the office ladies, which you do. If you're smart, you want to go and visit them and have a good relationship with your front office ladies because they can make your life wonderful.
Yeah, make friends with them.
Yes. And so we had gone up to the front office to say hello and to visit just a little bit. And the bell rang while we were in mid-conversation. And we were like, oh, my gosh, we got to get back. So we began walking back. We got to the door and kind of peeked around very slowly. And magically,
they were all sitting in their seats quietly.
And they had
their binders out, ready to go, ready for
pass-offs.
And
some already had their hand raised.
And, I mean, they were, like, practicing what they needed to be practicing. They didn't have the metronome on yet because we haven't taught them to do that yet.
Yeah, we haven't trained them to turn on the metronome.
But they were quietly practicing what they needed to do.
And I don't think that they realized we weren't in our office, maybe.
I don't know.
Which is crazy because the office has a huge window. It's like a viewing area at the zoo to me.
Yeah.
Like, we have this massive window that takes up pretty much the entire wall of the office. Like, there's no covering it. There's no curtain in the world that's going to cover this.
Did I tell you? Okay, so one of our daughter's friends stayed after school the day of our football game to hang out with her. Before, so they were going to hang out at the football game. So she just stayed after school with Sutton. And she came in and she went, oh my gosh, I didn't realize there was a window right there.
Seriously?
She really said that.
Bless
her
little.
Okay, well, it's definitely been there all year.
And she's one of mine. Like,
yeah,
she's a trumpet player.
Trumpet.
Yeah, she's on my trumpet list. And so that was a small victory. Like, we were like, hey, this is awesome. And so we congratulated them on coming in and doing what they needed to do. Because ultimately the goal is with our beginners, we want them to be able to come in, get set for the class, no matter what's going on. Because sometimes you'll have, like, in the afternoon, it's really crazy because we have a sixth grade class followed by a seventh grade class that just happened boom, boom, really fast.
Yeah, very quickly.
And the sixth grade also come in after lunch. They always get let out early.
Oh, my gosh. We're talking, like, sometimes 8 minutes early.
And, you know, we have high school band before lunch. And we never, never, ever do we start our lunch until 10 minutes after high school band's over. Like, our 30-minute lunch. Because
sometimes our lunch
we're
is
answering
like 10
questions
minutes.
Or, you know, just sitting and staring at the wall because it's hot outside right now in August,
right,
and we're trying to cool our body temperature down. And the last thing we want is to go heat up some food for lunch when we're soaked to our socks and sweat. Or we're changing in between classes. And so they come in early, and the cafeteria is right by the band hall. So if they get released early at all, they're in the band hall.
Yeah, it's
just
like four steps
through there. And so they come in and they sit down and they get prepared while we finish our lunch.
Shove the last couple of bites that we can into our mouth.
Yeah, or down that last little bit of protein shake before we go out and start up with our students. But that's a small victory that you can celebrate with those students. You can celebrate with yourself. And something that I encourage you, if you don't do this already, and I don't do this as often as I should, is write these things down so you can look back at the end of the day if you feel like you've had a bad day and you can see the victories that came up with you throughout that day, or even the week or the month, or if you think your program is not going the way it should, look back at those things that were small and
were definitely meaningful to somebody or a group of people. Take those and enjoy them. Enjoy them. And take some solace in that. Some other things that that we've looked at, just small minor victories, celebrating those small minor victories with those students. So yeah. When they get something, make a big deal out of it. Right now we're working with our beginners on the Master of the Alphabet. We're finishing that up. Mm-hmm. And if you're not familiar with that, you should be. It is a great way to get them reading forwards and backwards their letters of the alphabet.
And also working on coordination with like clapping and tapping your foot and just getting used to, just steady beat.
Yeah. And
I don't know how your elementary programs work or if you even have one in your small school, but steady beat is just not something that is really pushed a lot, or at least it wasn't. I think that we're finally getting a little more stability in our elementary program to where it's going to be a more important thing. But when we first took over, it was not a thing as much. And so us working on steady beat at the beginning of the year was like, we had to do it.
And it's the precursor to passing to rhythmic literacy. And so we do pass-offs on our rhythms. We talk about this in other episodes all the time. It's one of the things that we're probably most proud of in our program is creating students that can read rhythms most of the time without us having to go, this is how it goes, or them ask, how does this go again? And even if they do, especially when they get to high school band, how does this go? We'll say, well, can you break it down and clap and count it? And we'll make them do that. And as frustrating as that is for them, it comes back pretty regularly. And so by the time they get to high school band, unless it is just a really weird rhythm, which sometimes happens in like your all region or your solo and ensemble music.
But that's where we normally get that. Like, can you help me with that rhythm? It's not in our band music anymore.
No.
It's definitely in that higher level music that they're learning for region and solo and ensemble.
And how you can check that is just pass out a piece of music and have them read it and sort of see. And sometimes they'll surprise you. I know that they surprise me consistently because I'm thinking, oh, this passage right here, it's got too many word 16th note stuff in it. I don't know that we're gonna be able to do that. Or it's got some syncopation in it. And we'll do it and it'll come together so fast. And it just it amazes me every single
time.
It's just
because all the rhythm counting that we do in beginner and seventh grade band.
Yeah,
it's paying off in high school band.
And we do it every day. And those are small victories. And when a student gets something that they've been working on for 2 or 3 or sometimes even a week. Because we don't water it down for them when it comes down to pass off for our rhythm pass off. We let them move at their speed and some kids' speed, and we grade them on how they move at their speed. If they're trying every single day for their rhythm grade for us, it's going to be 100. It's not going to be based off, well, this child's on chart 5 and this child's on chart 1 still. No, that's part of the differentiation process that we do with our students, because students that may be great in science or great in English may have problems with being able to clap and count rhythms. And that's okay. And you just have to let them move at their own pace, because every hardship comes at a different time when it comes to beginners, especially when it comes to musicians. We hit different walls at different times and have different frustrations because we're all individual people. And helping them understand that that's okay is actually a small victory, I think. Because they're not, everything doesn't need to come easy to you. And that is something that we have parents tell us all the time. Well, they're so frustrated because they just expect everything to come easy to them. And we just look at those parents and say, well, you realize that's okay that it doesn't come easy to them and they don't need to quit because of that.
There's something very rewarding about having to work really hard to figure something out.
And then figuring it out.
Right.
And it's a sense of pride that comes with that. And that's pretty much how the world works.
Right.
If you go through life waiting for something easy, you're just going to be frustrated all the time.
True.
Because not everything is easy. We actually had a parent this year whose child, almost the entire family has been in band. They have like 5 kids. And the one that's in the middle, smack dab in the middle, they said they wished he would have stayed in band, but it just didn't come easy to him. And he got frustrated with it and quit. That kind of broke my heart a little bit because I never got that vibe when he was in band.
He
I mean,
we
he
never
was,
felt like he liked it.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of eye-opening to us to find out that
that was the reason.
He didn't like it because it just wasn't easy for him. He had to work at it. All of his other siblings have actually been very, very good, and it actually has come very easy to them. And so to find out he's the only one that it hasn't really come easy to was interesting. It was an interesting revelation for us.
And he's also the only one that's not a trumpet player.
Yeah, well, no. Well, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Five kids, four trumpet players.
Maybe we
missed the mark.
Wrong.
We should have put him on trumpet. Moving on, I suggest that you write down your small victories so you can look back. And also, here's a victory. When you're able to leave the band hall and leave the work at the band hall, that's a victory, folks. That's if you go home and you just deal with band all day long, and then you go home and it follows you home, that's where sleepless nights come from. That's where thinking that you're unhappy in your position comes from. Leave it at the office. Know that not everything is going to get done, and accept that as a victory. Something that I do is I make lists all over the place, and they're not organized lists. They're on notepads. I have like six legal pads that float around my desk, and my desk is messy. Like, we have countertop desks, and Michelle's desk is always very neat and tidy. And mine looks like
it
exploded.
I'm just excited that I have enough desk space now that I can't have a neat and tidy desk. My desk space in the old office, I couldn't have a neat and tidy desk because I did not have enough room for everything that I needed to put away. I didn't have enough space to put things away. And so
there was no easy access.
I couldn't have a neat and tidy desk. I'm just so excited that I can have a tidy desk now.
And I am just as bad as I was.
Josh
it's just spread out.
And it's just
it's
spread out
more.
It's spread out.
It's thinner, I guess.
But he knows where everything is.
I do know where everything is. As a matter of fact, what blows kids' minds is when I can tell them exactly where to go to get it. And they walk in the tornado zone and are able to grab what I'm telling them to go get.
And it's usually a little bit, I usually have to go in to find it because mine is safely tucked away in some drawer. And it's harder for me to say it's in the third drawer on the right.
And this office has so many drawers and cabinets, y'all. Yeah. It's and we're not bragging. It's sometimes it's quite frustrating because I'll go in and open it and go, no, this is not where the mouthpieces are. It's this one over, or this is not where the office supplies are, or oh my gosh, which drawer is which reed? You've got to be kidding me.
I got the reeds down though.
Yeah, she's got the reed. They're right by her desk. But so I always have lists everywhere and sticky notes, and I will make a list before I leave. And I will make a list when I get to school, before the kids get there, of the things that I have to accomplish, the things that I want to accomplish. And part of my small victory is marking off each and every one.
And he will go, oh, that felt good every time he marks something off.
And if you do something that's not on the list, write it on the list and mark it off. I know that seems silly. Because, like, if you answered an email or you copied music or you made a plan for something, if you called, like, for example, I have to do our bus transportation still for the entire football season, which I'm probably going to do as soon as we stop recording this podcast. And so I will write that down and mark it off. And it feels so good. It's like the best thing. And then when you do it on a stick post-it note, you get to crumple it up and throw it in the trash. That part I'm not so good at. I very rarely hit it. That's why I'm a band director and a basketball player. But it feels so good to be able to do that or to rip that page off of that legal pad and know that you accomplished all those things. So those are small victories.
Small victories.
Small victories. So celebrate your small victories. That's basically what the message is this episode as we ramble on for 30 minutes. But we're glad you're with us, and we're glad that you are hopefully celebrating your small victories.
Us getting this podcast recorded, that's a small victory for us.
It is, because let me tell you, folks, we have had so many troubles. This is the third shot of putting all of this together. So you're hearing three different recording sessions coming to you right now through the interwebs. And we managed to do it. So we're already looking at new podcasting equipment because ours, even though it's only a year old, is starting to struggle just a little bit. So that being said, be sure to celebrate your small victories as we celebrate ours. And let us know what some of those small victories are. Go onto our Facebook page. We'll do a thread. Just comment on there. What small victories have you had this week? Email us at littlebandology@gmail.com. And
we'll give you a shout out next week.
Yeah, we'll give you a shout out, especially if you're from Europe. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, please
you're
talk
awesome.
To us.
Talk
Tell
to
us who
us.
You are.
We want to know you.
That's so cool.
It's so awesome. And are just as sort of as a spoiler, I guess a spoiler or what's coming next. We're going to do a series where we talk about starting beginners with the mouthpiece or whatever we do. So we're going to do a woodwind, we're going to do a brass, and we're going to do a percussion. And one of us is going to be giving the information while the other asks questions to help the person giving the information remember what and to keep them on track. So in other words, Michelle is going to ask me lots of questions, and I'm not going to have to ask her, but maybe one or two. But that is our next, hopefully next three episodes. So make sure you tune in for that. And we'll give you the what to look for, what not to look for, and everything in between, and all the mistakes that I've made placing mouthpieces on kids for the last 20 years. So that'll be fun. But celebrate your small victories this week, and until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Little Bandology. Reach out to us on Facebook at Little Bandology or email us at littlebandology@gmail.com.